Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, honeys. Welcome to Natch Butte. I'm going to start every episode with a little intro from me asking, what have we all learned this week? Because you know what? We're trying to learn. And sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's uncomfortable, but we're learning, hon. So I'm going to start the episode with what I've learned this week. And obviously, I encourage the honeys to do their own work as well. But what have I learned this week? I have learned that, man, we got a lot of work to do, hon. I have had some hard conversations this past week with friends, family members, etc., who truly have had a lot of protective barriers up in their mind that has been protecting them from considering that they might be a part of the systemic racism that exists in our country. And I understand that's hard to hear. We have all as white folks benefited from this system, and we haven't had to address it, which is why it's perpetuating the problem. And that's hard to hear. And I've, you know, had some defensive conversations with some people. And I understand that because that's our natural instinct is to be defensive, you know. But, honey, this is a hard truth. And guess what you can call that? Privilege. Yeah, yeah. It's privilege that we haven't had to address this in our own lives. Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to continue these conversations. And they've been very eye-opening, I'll tell you that. And I encourage the honeys to do that as well. Now, there's a lot more to cover, but I'm going to be dropping these into the episodes. So stick around every week. Get ready for that. There's a lot going on in the beauty space as well. I'm going to save that for next week because we have a full episode ahead of us, okay? But one more thing. I'm just going to share some of the work I've done this week. I am making a definitive stance against Amazon. Jackie J, done with Amazon, okay? We're done, hon. You know, slowly we have watched our society become everything's quick, everything's convenient, everything gets to us as quickly and easily as possible. Again, that's what you call privilege. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, this insisting that everything be as convenient and easy as possible, it's led to a lot of problems, and we got to stop. And I encourage all the honeys that are able to shift your business away from Amazon. Okay, now, when I say that are able, I'm talking to my able-bodied honeys, my able-income honeys, able-in-general honeys, because I understand that the convenience of Amazon is extremely helpful for a lot of the honeys who need it. And if that's you, I'm not talking to you, hun. Do you and get through the day. I'm talking to those of us who are like, you know what I need? I need a new fucking oven mitt right now. And we're just sitting in front of the TV and we hit that one button on our phone and Amazon sends a damn oven mitt over in a plastic bag. Okay. We gotta stop. Okay. Did you know that most things that you need and that you want to buy can be purchased from a black-owned business? It might be slightly more work than hitting one button on your phone, but that's the whole point of what I'm saying. It's time to do the work, okay? Maybe draw back the convenience a tad and do a little more work, okay? Just an example, I've decided to invest in a new ring light. It's not looking like, you know, social distancing is going to exist for a very long time, and it's not looking like we're just all going to go back and snap back into quote-unquote normal life. So I'm going to be doing a lot more of my work remotely, and I've just been relying on that good lighting of the outdoor windows. I had this awesome lighting kit that unfortunately I lost in my divorce. So it's time to purchase one. And my friend Tony Thaxton, he recommended that he ordered his ring light from 10kringlights.com, which is a black owned company. 10kringlights.com, 10, the letter K. So 10, the letter K, ringlights.com. And he likes the ring light. He recommends it. So guess what? I ordered one today. Black owned. They're having a big sale. I don't know if that sale's still going to be going on when this episode comes out. Sorry. I hope it is. But you know what? Just Google. You got to search. You got to do the work. Put your money where your mouth is. Okay. And I know a lot of my honeys out there love to research products. You know, before you buy a serum, you look up 20 different reviews and you Google every ingredient. I'm talking to my honeys that love to research. It's all about research now, honey. We have to do a little bit more research into what we're buying and who we are buying from. And honey, I'm done with Amazon. If you don't know why Amazon's bad, there are a bunch of reasons, okay? A bunch. But I'm not going to get into all of them. But just, I'm all about spreading my money into other entrepreneurs and into our, you know, society. So I'm done with Amazon. And just full transparency, like if you're listening to this and you click on nashby.com, there are going to be Amazon links on my page. And yes, they are an affiliate code. And guess what? They've never really been very active. I'm not joking. I maybe make $9 a month from those. But my sister runs nashby.com. We're a two-woman operation, and really we're a one-woman operation because I don't run the website. She is now, you know, running her brew pub in Dallas. It is called Vector Brewing. If you're in Dallas, I highly recommend going and getting some food. They have gluten-free. They're going to have vegan pizza soon. I think they might already. They have great beer, and it's a woman-owned, family-run business that is independent, and they've had a lot of ups and downs, but they're open, hon. So if you're in Dallas, go check out Vector Brewing and tell them Jackie J sent you. But anyway, my sister is busy. She's also a mother of two. She's busy. So I'm going to have her do when she has time, which who knows when that will be. I'm going to have her, you know, do a whole look change on nashbutte.com where we erase all the Amazon stuff, but it's probably still there if you're listening to this. And I don't want y'all being like, hey, dummy, you just said you're done with Amazon, but you have Amazon links on your page. They will be gone. It's going to be a full project. But if you do perchance buy something on Amazon and you use a nashbutte.com link, from here on out, all the money will go to Black Lives Matter until I get them all down. And that is fact, honey. That is fact. So that's how I feel about that. So today, what I have learned is we have a lot more work to do. There's a lot of defensive family members and friends in my circle that I'm, you know, discussing hard truths with. I'm going to be done with Amazon. And the last thing I want to say is watch the John Oliver episode from last week. It's on YouTube. It is called Police, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. The whole thing is on YouTube. You don't have to have HBO. I highly recommend watching it and watching it with family members, or maybe sending the link out to family members, because I think, you know, I think he just does a really good job of summing it all up in like a light tone that's, you know, approachable. So I highly recommend checking it out. Okay, so my guest today is Meredith Fineman. If you've been listening to Nashbutte for a while, you know, we did a shorter ep last summer when we met, and, you know, everybody gave me such great feedback about Meredith and her work, and her book, Brag Better, is finally here, honey. It is out next week on Tuesday, June 14th. Full disclosure, we recorded this episode pre-core. I believe we recorded this a couple days into March. And she was actually in Washington, D.C., and I was in L.A. in my studio, so this is a remote interview, but it was recorded pre-COVID. And her book is out next week on Tuesday, June 14th. She already pushed the date once because of COVID, and so you know what? Her book is out next week. It is important work, and I wanted to release this episode now so that everybody knows the book is coming out, and I want y'all to hear what she has to say. Any mentions of the previous release date have been cut out, so just know that the book is out June 14th, and it is available for pre-order now, honey, okay? And guess what? There is a list of Black-owned bookstores on nashbutte.com for you to order it from. And I sourced these from all over the internet. Lots of posts. Forever 35 did a post with a bunch of Black-owned bookstores. Nicole Byer did a post. I read a couple articles. The Strategist. I pulled just a bunch of them. So, and I linked them all. That's the one thing that sucks about these Instagram lists is they just have them listed. And we're trying to do the work and we're trying to make the work easy. So I linked them all. They're there and ready for y'all. So I highly recommend that. I also like IndieBound because you can type in your zip code and it'll bring up all the independent bookstores that have that book available. And then you can cross-reference with my list of Black-owned bookstores and hopefully find one near you. And that is very exciting. So Meredith's book, Brag Better, I truly believe in this book, and I really think the work is life-changing. You know, this book, Brag Better, is all about empowerment and how to empower yourself to advocate for you, but also advocate for amplifying voices that need to be heard in your own voice, which is very important always, but more so now. And the work in this book can be used in your office, in your conversations with family members that I mentioned earlier, in the streets, and in this important election year. So I had to mention that because it's important to Meredith and myself. We briefly mentioned it in the interview, but that is discussed in the book. Also, Meredith is giving away 3 books to the honeys, okay? So if you are wanting to win the book, we're going to do a little contest for y'all. 3 books are going out to the honeys. She also has 10 Brag Better sticker sheets she's going to be giving out. So here's what you have to do to enter. Follow Meredith Fineman on Instagram at Meredith Fineman. That is Meredith Fineman. My voice kind of cracked there. Fineman. Meredith Fineman. Follow her on Instagram the day this comes out or the day you listen, and hit like on the post that I'm going to put up on the Nash Butte Instagram, and leave a comment bragging about yourself. It can be anything. You can say, I'm bragging because I just got promoted at work. I'm bragging because I'm a mother and I am juggling everything right now, and everyone's, you know, in my house is thriving. I'm bragging because I've been, you know, going out and protesting every day. Whatever your brag is, Meredith wants to read it. So please leave a comment on the Nash Butte Instagram post today, the day you listen to this, with a brag about yourself, and follow Meredith on Instagram. And I'm going to give y'all 2 weeks. And then guess what? She's going to pick some winners. So that's exciting. I think this book is really important and that the honeys are really going to love it. Also, Meredith has a podcast called It Never Gets Old about all things secondhand. She is a secondhand fashionista, all about vintage and secondhand clothes. And she did an episode of her podcast last week all about Black-owned vintage shops you can buy from. And that ties into my work this week of not buying crap from Amazon. Meredith is a huge advocate of secondhand fashion, and we could all learn more about this movement. I do believe it is the movement of the future as fast fashion keeps getting canceled, and I'm fine with that. So I highly recommend checking out that episode of her show and her show in general, but I'm going to link that episode on the Nash Butte episode guide today. And I just wanted to say all that up top and give a little context to this episode. The honeys are going to enjoy it, and I hope all my honeys are working hard and staying happy out there. Please enjoy this episode of Nash Butte with Meredith Fineman.
Oh yeah. You are a natural butte. You are a Nash Butte. Oh yeah.
Have you ever been close to fringe so fresh, or been close to folks who have? Have you ever used a cream so powerful, so heavy you collapsed? No! Well, I've never had to Natch on Butte, but I know someone who has, which makes me wonder if I could. It makes me wonder if I've never had to Natch on Butte. And I'm glad I've creamed my neck, because I'm sure that it is good. And that's the podcast that I get. Welcome to Natch Butte, everybody. Now, let me explain really quickly. So I write these cover songs for Natch Butte every week. And I do like to have a musical accompaniment with them when applicable. I listen to at least 25 covers of The Impression That I Get by the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, and every single one of them had a backup vocal, meaning that when I would try to get into my chorus, Ever Had to Natch on Butte, you could hear somebody scream, Ever Had to Knock on Wood, which I could not have. I could not have that going in the background of my song. The only one I could find without it was this one, which is actually a marching band accompaniment. That was a marching band arrangement of the impression that I get. If you were wondering why it sounded so verbose. So that is what I decided to do for the greater good, and I hope you enjoyed it. But that is not what we are here to discuss. Welcome to Natribute, everybody. I'm Jackie Johnson, your host. If this is your first episode, hello. If this is not your first episode, thank you for coming back. But welcome to Natribute. You're beautiful, and today is beautiful. And I just want to let you know that I am the Beauty Talk Shock Jock, your queen of creams, your host with the most serums, the freshest fringe on the West Coast, your favorite over 30 niche influencer, your kooky southern aunt, the pop punk princess. Welcome to Natribute. I have a very exciting episode today for you. And I have a returning guest, okay? If you're like me, perhaps you struggle to communicate your accomplishments to others. This is something that I honestly didn't even realize about myself until I met my guest and heard more about her work. But basically, society rewards the loud. If you've ever heard the phrase, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, personally, I have an extremely hard time being squeaky. And there's lots of reasons for that. You know, last year I did a lot of therapy. And I realized that, you know, throughout my life, for various reasons, that I have personally been conditioned to not take up space, not make a fuss. This has permeated itself into everything I do. That's jobs, that's marriages, that's relationships. But you know what? That's old Jackie. I'm working on it, sweetie. I'm right on top of that, Rose, okay? Which is why I find my guest work so fascinating and necessary. And I really didn't even know how my struggle was real until I discovered her and her expertise. My guest today, like I said, she's a returning guest. She's an entrepreneur, a writer, and a podcast host. And her life mission is to empower people to champion themselves. What a concept, honey, okay? Her book is called Brag Better. It is available for pre-order right now. She came in into the studio last year for a mini episode. It changed my life. Also, I know a lot of honeys, her work resonated very deeply with them as well. And since that fateful day, we have formed a friendship that has bloomed even more. And I can say that she is one of the most supportive and positive influences in my friend group. She knows her shit. She's the real deal, honey. Just reading the back cover of Brag Better has had a profound effect on my life, which I will get into, and I cannot wait to get into her work. I will say right now that she is joining me via phone in DC because boss ladies have to work, okay? So we're doing a phone interview right now. I'm very excited to have her returning and share her very empowering message to all the honeys. Please welcome back Meredith Fineman. Hello, Meredith.
Hi. Oh my God, what a glowing intro. I love that song. Now, as soon as we stop recording, I'm going to have to like hop off and listen to all the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. And we'll talk about secondhand fashion later, which is another area of my expertise. But I am currently bidding on a vintage Mighty Mighty Boss Tones t-shirt on Poshmark.
So what? Like, so can you even believe that? That is kismet.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Now I'm wondering if I should maybe give it to you because I give vintage t-shirts as gifts to friends, but you know, we'll figure it out.
That's,
we can share it.
That's honestly a really good gift idea because you want to buy them for yourself, but they're expensive, you know? So it's very thoughtful.
Well, yeah, but also if they're expensive, you're looking in the wrong places. So let's get into that.
Oh,
too.
Meredith, I'm telling you, you have such powerful work. Okay, did you like the marching band arrangement? Because that was the only one I could find that didn't have backup vocals.
I thought it was great. I thought that it really slapped, as they say.
There you go.
I am so impressed and delighted by your fearlessness around just singing fun covers. I was so devastated I couldn't be at that 90s show. Where you just like tore the roof off. I hope your honeys have seen this video of you singing. And
I
so,
hope
yeah,
they have
I'm totally
too.
Here for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the honeys all know that being a pop punk princess is probably like the number one career that didn't happen for me. And it still might, you know, it still might. We don't know, and that's beautiful. But
yeah.
let's get to work, because I want to get into your work and I want to talk about Brag Better. Now that the book is around the corner, honey, last time you were here last summer, you know, you had just finished the book. And we barely scratched the surface of your work. And like I said, there's so much to discuss, but we have to start with the questions I ask every guest, which is, number one, what type of skin do you have?
So I have pretty oily skin. And it's good that we're talking about this, because it's funny, like, what deeply overwhelms me is skincare. And you know, you could put me in any thrift store, any other like big scary conference, giving a speech to 1,000 people, I don't mind. But like Sephora makes me want to run and hide. So I have oily combo skin, and I am desperately overwhelmed and afraid of everything that you spend your time giving advice to.
I mean, listen, we're the perfect yin and yang, aren't we?
It's true. It totally is true. I love it.
What is your favorite thing about yourself?
I think I would say my humor. That I'm like pretty funny, all things considered. I think that's probably my favorite thing about myself. And then there's this like mole on my upper tummy that I like.
Oh, I love that. I
it's
love
like a
that.
But I'm into it. I don't know where that even came from, because I've never like said that. It's very random, but you know, I don't know. It's cute.
I love that. That's a perfect answer, because you gave a physical and a, you know, non-physical trait. We love.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get into the art of self-promotion. The first thing I want to ask you about is, let's talk about what bragging actually is. I feel like the word brag can maybe set a tone, but how do you redefine the concept of bragging?
Totally. So I have been working with the word brag, and I'll tell the story of it, for about 7 years. And I really don't know what made me decide to start using it, but my big aha moment happened where, all major aha moments happen, which was at a Las Vegas pool.
Oh.
Major professional, thoughtful, intellectual epiphanies happening at those pools. Just kidding. I was like sandwiched between a bachelor party and a bachelor party. And I was there for a friend's conference and trying to take this client call. And, you know, there's like ambient noise, but there's also like ambient, like music everywhere. So I'm like crouched in a bush. And so I'm on the phone with this client. I have for a long time represented people, specifically women in positions of power, not only women, on visibility and voice and how they present themselves, which has been morphed into a lot of these bragging concepts. And she is just like the most goals, from like her personal life choices, you know, her kids are nice. She's part of a like really interesting power couple, insanely accomplished. And I was working on some of her PR and visibility, and I booked her on TV. And she said to me, you know, I don't know if I am the best person to go on. There might be someone who knows more than I do. And the problem was, she was in a presidential administration on the topic. And I tried to do everything I could to convince her. And she didn't go on. And I was sort of like, well, if this person, who is the pinnacle of, I think, what many people, men and women, would deem as successful, thoughtful, knowledgeable, thought that, you know, she was not qualified enough to go on air, which is ridiculous, then the rest of us were honestly screwed. So I got off the phone with her. My phone promptly died. And there are no outlets at a Las Vegas pool because everybody's blacked out and going to electrocute themselves. So like there was nowhere for me to plug in my phone.
They should probably get them, but you're right. That would probably be bad.
Yeah. So there's like this cocktail waitress in a teeny tiny outfit. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm not here to buy like a, you know, $2,000 bottle, but can I have a pen? And I also had a book at the pool, which again, I'm the only person reading at that pool. And I don't know, this was October 2013, maybe September. And I wrote in the margin of the book, I wrote braggart, as in like someone who brags, and I put parentheses around art. And my original idea was this art of self-promotion and talking about your work. And brag just kind of stuck. I use it for a bunch of different reasons. Someone recently at a speech I gave was like, why didn't you stick with, you know, brag art? I was like, I honestly don't know. I think I like brag better more. It's just a better title.
It's very catchy.
Thank you.
We love a title.
The issue is, yeah, you got to have a good title, some good, you know, marketing slogans, what have you. So I have been working with the word brag ever since, speaking and training all over the country on self-promotion and why bragging matters. But, you know, bragging is an icky word, or rather it's one that espouses a lot of different feelings. The most common ones, you know, anxiety, fear, disgust, disdain, you know, all these different, all these negative emotions. I am also a very long time writer. I've been a freelance writer for about 15 years. Words are sort of what I care about and work with. And as well as voice is sort of, I guess, the through line of my work. And the problem is we don't really have many other words. So I chose brag because it was, you know, subversive, but also truly because there are just not that many alternatives. And when you define brag, it means to talk about oneself boastfully, which gives us nothing. When you look into boastful, it says talking about yourself with excessive pride, which is entirely fucking subjective.
Right.
And so my argument for bragging is that it is a stating of facts and it is necessary in the world that we live in. Whether you agree with that or not, that is the reality of who we reward with, you know, praise, promotions, money, corporate board seats, internships, like irrespective of, you know, level of seniority, it is how we absorb other people's work. And so it's just necessary that you tout your own facts of work and brag about them so that you can get what you want.
Yes. That is great. I completely, so I think that is why when I first heard what you did, I was so thrown, because when the word brag to me, it does, you sort of, it sort of has a negative connotation, but then you're like, wait a minute, no, that's not what bragging is. Bragging is having pride in your work and sharing it with those around you.
And it is stating facts. Like it's facts. Like you did this thing, you want to talk about it, you feel bad for bragging about it, but like, did you not do the thing?
Right.
You did the thing.
But it's also just so important to tell people what you do. Which, again, I didn't realize until I read your book.
Yeah, well, I'm glad. And, you know, you talked about one thing that I said in our previous time together as well was, first of all, you're so not alone. It's what I do for a living. But also, I am always clear that Brag Better is not only for women, but the majority of my audience are women. And as women, you know, we think about who we listen to. We think about who we reward with our attention, our eyeballs and our earballs and, you know, whatever balls we have or don't have.
All the balls.
You know, and all the balls all the time. And a lot of that is white men. And, you know, women being, you know, lots of just gender roles reinforced about positive attributes being associated with passive behaviors. I said to you, I have no doubt as a Southern woman, there's a lot of sort of regional factors that play in, that it's sort of what you were taught about as a child, you know, were your parents, you know, performing gender roles in a way that reinforced this idea of women and silence or suppression of voice. And that's not even getting into like what it's like for a woman of color or other people of color, queer people. And in my book, I thought a lot about how to address how privilege is intrinsically tied to bragging and who we listen to and who gets to speak. And, you know, I think in 2020, it's really just so important that we all speak about what we know, but also help amplify the voices of other people. And in the book, it's full of interviews of people with all different backgrounds, races, you know, gender identity and expression, levels of ability, all of that factors really into the work that I do.
We love. Oh, yeah.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I want you to define something for me, because I identify as what you call in your book the qualified quiet. Can you kind of describe what the qualified quiet is and why this book is for them?
Yes. So I define my audience as the qualified quiet. That is a term that beamed into my head one day. I came up with it.
Again, what a great term. What a great title.
But it's people that have done the work but don't know how to talk about it and tout it. And to some degree, we are all the qualified quiet. And what does that mean? That means, you know, you've thought about sharing your accomplishments, but you're afraid to do so. Or you see someone sharing them in a way that you don't like. And so instead of trying to figure out how to do that in a way that feels good to you, you'd rather just be quiet and put your head down and do the work. And so it's not a weakness, it's a strength. You know, you've done the hard part of putting in the time and energy into your chosen profession or project or, you know, school learning, what have you. It's just the icing is the bragging part. It's an uncomfortable muscle that you learn to flex and brag better is a decade of you know, exercises, case studies that I've done with clients, research on how to begin to talk about what you've done. But to some degree, as I said, we all are part of the qualified quiet. So it's just time to get loud, because as much as I would like to be optimistic and say that I think we can get the loud people to be quiet and listen, I think we both know that's just not realistic. And so it's a matter of getting loud in a way that feels okay to you. It's not about adopting someone else's style. It's not about like yelling, whether literal or figurative. Bragging is very personal to a person and how they want to express what they've done and promote what they've done, but also enough so that other people can recognize it.
I mean, that all makes perfect sense to me. One of the things, you sort of have a list in the book of like, who are the qualified quiet? And one of the things that kind of hit me was, I have such an easy time like hyping up my friends and bragging about them. And when my friends meet each other, I'm like, oh, you'd love her. She won this. She did this, this, this. But then I don't do that for myself. And I was like, why can I do that so easily for my friends, but I have such a hard time doing it for myself?
Well, again, that is, you shouldn't know how to do these things. That's another misnomer. People come to me with a couple of the same things, clients. And they say, you know, I'd rather put my head down and do the work. The problem is, if great work falls in the woods and people don't hear about it, you don't talk about it, it will not get you where you want to go. That's
right.
Just how we work these days. And then also, you know, you shouldn't know how to do this stuff. You're like, oh, I'm just bad at this. I'm like, first of all, that's why communications is an entire industry. But also, you don't have the role models. You don't have the vocabulary, which as a writer, that's what I cared about Brag Better being, was helping you find the words, the actual words, because our vocabulary can be really limited around these things. And then you have all the societal factors telling you, like, how dare you feel proud of yourself? Like, how dare you feel, you know, confident enough to tout your work and not care what other people think? Because especially for women, that's a very dangerous proposition.
Yeah. What a concept.
What a concept. Loud women, love them. Or, you know, like women that are loud in their own way.
That's right, baby. Okay. Let's talk about the three pillars of bragging better.
Yeah.
So this is where you kind of break down how, I mean, this is sort of the three pillars of the mission here. So,
yes, your mission, whether you choose to accept it, which you should.
Yes.
Please accept my mission.
Yes. Because the whole point of your book and your work is to be authentic in this, in how you do this. So nothing you will ever do will feel like it isn't you or it isn't part of what you're trying to accomplish. So these things are just the three pillars, as you say in your book. So they are be loud, be proud, be strategic. So let's start with be proud. What does that mean, Meredith? Help me.
Yeah, so to clarify, like, this is all about with finding what works for you.
Yes.
And some of it is going to be uncomfortable. Like, you know, it's scary to put yourself out there. It's scary to take up space and take up volume and add your voice to the mix. It's much easier to stay quiet. But I believe that it is so necessary for your work and how you feel. But also, you know, we'll get into how much bragging better is about elevating the voices of your friends, your colleagues, and people whose voices that are maybe, you know, ones that we don't listen to or don't get the spotlight. But being proud of what you've done, I think, is a really hard thing to do if you are, you know, any thoughtful person in the world and introspective and critical of yourself. And, you know, I'm intensely type A and extremely critical of myself and my own work. And I think a lot of us, you know, it's easier to ignore those things. And, you know, for some reason, I'm sure Jackie too, as you as being a public person, you know, you get all these nice compliments on what you've done. And the one, you know, negative review or the one negative comment, you know, just like sticks in your head. And that really sucks. And it takes a lot of work to do. And, you know, your being a big podcaster, like, is, I had just gotten and started my podcast or was very early on when we first met, but I was not used to people criticizing my voice, which is a whole new thing, which I'm sure you get all the time because we just like love criticizing women in every way, shape, or form. But being proud is thinking about what you've done, maybe asking people you're really close to help you like show those accomplishments or tell you about them when you have trouble recognizing them, and then sitting with them for a second and realizing that also they are enough. So what I always want to make clear is that being proud of your accomplishments or whatever you honestly did, it can be something as small as like, you know, I really kicked ass in that meeting, or I gave a great speech, or I, you know, wrote an amazing essay in class, or I, you know, advised a C-suite CEO. It's totally irrespective of age and of level of seniority. It's just about looking at what you've done and saying like, it's enough for me to talk about. Everyone has something that they can brag about. Everyone, no matter what you feel or judge you have or haven't done.
Okay. So let's talk. The next one is be loud.
Yes. So when I talk about volume here, and being loud, I'm not necessarily talking about the actual physical volume of your voice.
Well, that's unfortunate for me.
It can be.
Yeah.
But it can be. It can be. And I think your voice is great. It's so funny because when I was so surprised when I met you and I told you about this when we had dinner not that long ago, that like, you know, when my friend Ben started dating Jackie, you know, she was like pretty and skinny and like, I imagined she'd have this like high-pitched voice and, you know, all just like random judgments that were completely unfounded. And you have this like lovely, like heavy Southern accent in a sea of Valley Girls, which like I sound like a Valley Girl, shout out to sounding like a Valley Girl. You have a great voice. And I think that's one reason why, among many others, why people like to listen to you. But being
Thank
loud
Thank you, darling.
Yeah, exactly. It's great. It's like I was totally shocked when you opened your mouth. Truly. Like, I was like, wait. And I guess I hadn't heard the podcast, so I hadn't heard your voice before, and I was totally shocked. So being loud is sharing repeatedly, clearly, consistently, and all of this stuff is in Brag Better. Please pre-order wherever you get books if you want to go with a big guy like, you know, Amazon or support your local small business bookstore. All pre-orders are the same. All pre-orders matter. You can also, you know, do Kindle and ebook. I have to go in and read the whole thing, which will be an interesting exercise. But no, being loud is communicating however feels okay to you. So whether it's consistently publishing content, writing a column, picking a social media, you know, tool and using it well, with clear intentions and a clear message. It's about having a clear, consistent message and continuing to speak up, quote unquote, whether that is genuinely speaking up in meetings, speaking up online, speaking up, you know, in print. Being consistent is the most important thing, because you know, it's like the old journalism adage that my dad taught me, which is that you have to tell people what you're going to tell them. You have to tell it to them, and then you have to tell them what you've told them. It's just this idea of repetition is what leads to also people remembering you.
I just feel like this personally is really hitting me, because that is something that I definitely do not do. And there's so many reasons, but I just, for some reason, I'm always discouraged to promote my podcast because I put it out every week. So I'm like, people know it's out every week. I feel like when I post about it every week, it doesn't get likes, you know, nobody's seeing it or nobody's liking it. And I'm like, but what you're saying is no, but that's such an important part of advocating for yourself, is the consistency of that.
And as humans, we need repetition to retain information.
Right.
Because if you look at the sheer volume of, you know, how many premium TV shows there are, or how many podcasts there are, I mean, the idea that you've broken through in terms of podcasts putting on my PR hat, like, that is really impressive and something you absolutely should and do capitalize on, you know, as a business person and an entrepreneur. But there's so many things that command people's attention. Our attention spans are shorter than ever. And so you just have to constantly be reintroducing yourself. And I will say, I didn't do this either for a long time, because, and I'm trying to do it more, but I feel the same way. And I was talking about something about, like, I ran into someone in Washington. I live in Washington, D.C. And they were like, oh, like, how's, you know, X, Y, and Z going? Like, something I had done a decade ago. And I was like, what? I feel like I am constant. And this again happened recently. Someone was like, oh, like, what are you up to? Are you still working on? And I co-wrote a data book that came out a couple of years ago. They're like, how's that? I was like, wait, I have just been like talking, I thought, till I was blue in the face about Brag Better, the book, my consulting, my podcast. And the truth is, every single time you reintroduce yourself online or in person, it's a slightly different audience. It's never the same audience. So even if you're capturing like one new eyeball, like one new listener, it's always different. And it also just is really helpful, because sometimes people forget, like, you know, we're always so worried about what everyone else is thinking of us. And, you know, oh, like, you know, that's so repetitive. Nobody, literally, that's not a thought that anyone ever has. I think about some of the like business leaders and voices that constantly drive messages home, and never once have I been like, oh, this shit again. So like, that's just like not something that people think. But we're also walking around in our own heads with our own work, thinking that everyone knows our like innermost thoughts and what we're doing all the time. You really have to tell people.
It makes perfect sense. I swear I still will get an email or a Facebook message from someone who I haven't seen in a long time. And they're like, oh, hey, are you still walking dogs? Because my friend needs someone. And I'm like, I haven't been a dog walker in 10 years.
Yeah.
Like,
and
what?
So you just have to. Well, I mean, you walk Chooch, or she walks behind you. But yes, other than that, that's not what you're doing. That's not
right.
What you do.
Yeah, honey. Ever heard of Natch Butte?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, so the last pillar is to be strategic. And that, again, we don't want to just scream out into the void. There is actually, it all makes sense, but kind of tell us about the strategy of it.
Yeah, so like learning these practices and getting outside your comfort zone and speaking up, whatever that, you know, however you determine is best for you, has to be channeled in a certain direction. And I often tell people to work backwards with the strategy. So like, let's say, for example, I'm trying to sell books, which I am, and get pre-orders because they matter disproportionately. And the book industry is complicated, but that's one thing. And so I'm like, okay, my volume and my pride, if I want, you know, book pre-orders, I constantly need to be sharing about the book. I need to be on podcasts like this one, talking about the book and when it comes out and how you can get it. I need to be in forums where like people are talking about books and, you know, get in there about what they're reading next. And then moving backwards from there, then you sort of know where to channel your stuff. And it doesn't have to be that specific. That's just an example. But like, there's an example in the book that I use of a client that I was consulting with, and she wanted to sell her company, and it was in education technology. And she was very well known in the education sector, and had this amazing programming, but the stuff she was broadcasting about the work she did was, yes, all that, how great her educational programming was, but that's actually not what a potential purchaser of her company needs to hear about. Like, that's a business financial decision. They need to know how well her company is doing. They need to know the profit margins. They need to know like how long she's run the company. They need to know the number of employees, because like, they're making a money decision. So you have to start talking in the language of wherever you're directing, you know, your brag. So talking with her, we figured out, I was like, okay, who are five dream companies you'd want to acquire your company? And we're like, okay, what are they reading? What are they listening to? How are you going to start talking about your company in a way that frames it as an actual business asset? We know that there's a lot of great content there, but like, that's how you have to frame it. That's just one example, but without the strategy, it just ends up being more noise. And if you just want to make noise, that's cool too. Like, that's totally cool. I would love to have more loud, qualified people. Like, that's also fine. But once you figure out where to channel it too, it'll help you, you know, get to those goals. Let's talk about one that's like inner office. Like, let's say, I talk a lot about bragging to people in a way that they want to be bragged to. So like, for example, if your boss, like your boss should be kept apprised of the things you're doing, and it's good to tout those things. But you also want to do it in a way that your boss recognizes. So like, if your boss sees value or recognizes accomplishments and like loves, this is like a really, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm like LARPing like office, you know, link, you know, situations, because I've consulted with a lot of people, but I've worked for myself for almost a decade. But let's say, you know, your boss wants something written, and that's how he or she retains information and is able, you know, if they're busy, like that's how they can see accomplishments versus walking into their office and like telling them what you've done. So it's a matter of being strategic with it and then like speaking the language. It's almost like love languages, which I'm sure, I feel like you've probably talked about on this podcast.
I don't think I have, honestly. I've talked about them in my personal life.
But bragging to someone in a language that they speak or that they recognize. Otherwise, mm-hmm. You're also then just... So there's all this stuff is in the book. I've also written on this topic for almost a decade. So, you know, I'll provide you with all the links and whatnot. But there are lots of things you can start doing right away.
So the one thing I wanted to share with you, Meredith, that I haven't told you yet, which I've discussed, is when I got your book in the mail. I mean, when we met, I instantly was so fascinated by your work and knew that it would help me. Because just hearing what you did, I was like, oh, wow, I have a real problem with promoting myself for various reasons. So I was so instantly drawn to your work, but I'm holding your book in my hand right now. By the way, the cover is so cute. If you do love like a statement book, you're already going to want it, even though inside is going to change your life. But just despite that, just, you know, judge a book by its cover, honey, try it. The back.
Thank you. No, that cover, like, you know, I went with Portfolio Penguin Random House, who's publishing this, and they really helped me bring the cover I wanted to life, which is colorful, aggressive. I guess both of those describe me. Colorful and aggressive.
Why not? Yeah.
In your face.
It's so cute. It would catch my eye. Just on
Excellent.
The back.
Love to hear it.
Yeah. Just on the back. You sort of discussed on the mini that you did with me, like how we can verbally undercut ourselves. And a lot of times we aren't even realizing that we're doing it. And on the back of the book, you list like you can eliminate words that undermine your work. Like if your bio says you're trying or attempting. And I was like, literally the description of Natribute says, join her as she attempts to take the intimidation mysteries out of this topic. Literally, it fucking says that in the description for my show. And I was like,
yeah, you gotta cut that shit out.
Oh, it's gone. I literally emailed my producer, Rebecca, and I said, we're changing the bio. I also changed it. It now says beauty expert Jackie Johnson, because I was talking to Ben and he was like, no, you're an expert. And I was like, no, the whole thing is that I'm not an expert and that I'm figuring it out. And he goes, you've done 170 episodes. You're an expert. Cut that shit. You know what I mean? I was
like, also, the truth is, like, expert. Also, sometimes you have to just be like, what would a mediocre white dude do? Like, he would say he's an expert, but also, like, you, expert is just not a thing.
No, I know, because I looked up the definition. I looked up what, because I was like, an expert means you have to have a PhD in the, you know, in the, it's a person who has a authoritative knowledge of or a skill in a particular area. I'm an expert, motherfucker. I don't know what to tell you. You know what I mean?
And you're a successful expert. It's like not just like you're an expert on the subject matter. Like you've crafted a business out of it. You've crafted like, a huge audience out of it. And it's funny because I bet your listeners, you know, honeys listening are like, well, yeah, obviously Jackie's the guru. Like, that's why I am here, to hear all of these things. And you talk with like such interesting people in the industry who are also the top of their game. But again, you know, my point is a lot of times, like, we've mixed up who's an expert because we have people that like don't know anything calling themselves experts. And then the rest of us who like know all this stuff being afraid to call ourselves experts. So like, you are an expert when you decide you are an expert. Like, it's not about getting a PhD. It's
right.
Just not.
Right. And I honestly never would have thought that. I would have never thought about that until I read just the back cover of your book. So I...
Well, I'm thrilled because we went over that copy again and again and again. So my editor did an amazing job of like helping suss out, because, you know, I've had this book in my head for about 7 years. Like, I look at the outline I made at that pool in Las Vegas, and it's extremely similar to the book that is now 7 years later, though it was, you know, not nearly as developed. But yeah, I mean, it's about advocating for yourself and showing up for yourself, but not just in this like, yeah, feel empowered. Like, I actually think that anything that is just purely feelings based isn't helpful. Like, I want to give people actual tools.
And you certainly do. And I just want to say, I'm going to read a few things that are in the book just for people listening who their ears are perked. She discusses pitches, salary negotiations, when and where maybe you shouldn't brag, public speaking, bragging online, bragging etiquette, how to practice bragging to make it more of a habit, to make it more natural for you. I mean, this book covers everything, and it's so helpful. And all I can say is that I cannot wait to unleash the new self-promoting Jackie that I have found through this work. And so that is why Meredith is here. So that's all we're going to say about that.
Well, it's funny too, because it's also like thinking about you, and we don't have time to unpack all of this. So, like, if you want like another follow-up 6-hour discussion,
yeah,
next you Meredith and Jackie discussion. But I will be promoting this book in Los Angeles for Honeys in LA in June, so stay tuned for all of that. And you bet I'm gonna have Jackie shilling. But it's funny because before I met you, I get all these judgments. Like, you had like, you know, tens of thousands of Instagram followers, and like I saw that you had been in like on like Drunk History, and like, you know, all this stuff that's insanely impressive, like even knowing you personally, the circles you run in, the like extremely powerful people, like insanely successful comedians, like it's so crazy, but it's so unsurprising. And I think that, you know, I'm really glad I got to you also just as a friend doing a friendship. But, you know, I think that it's we need more people like you to just be like, I'm a fucking expert.
Well, thank you. And I'm telling you, I have just the ripple effect of just your influence on me. I had a woman in here, Jen Harper, who owns Cheekbone Beauty, which is a brand in Canada. And this woman literally funded this company herself, has been hustling. And she said, I said kind of at the end of the show, like sort of like a funny thing. I was like, are you ever in the grocery store and somebody says, oh, I love your lipstick. And you go, oh, thanks. It's mine. And I laugh. And she goes, people compliment me all the time, but I don't really get into it. I just say thanks. And I wanted to be like, I'm sending you a copy of Brag Better. Because as women, we're just, nobody knows how to do this. It's so important and so that's why I'm telling you, it happens all the time now. I clock it all the time now. And especially, like I said, I read the back cover of the book and I was like, the description of my own podcast is undercutting my work. Stop it. Stop it. So this is such important work.
You should know how to do these things. Nobody teaches you them. Nobody advocates for you to do them. Like, there's so much messaging. It's like, how dare you feel confident? How dare you feel okay speaking?
Right.
All those sorts of things, you know, and I would have like throttled that woman very gently, but like, you know, it's the sort of thing where also, and I've heard of the stories I've heard, because I've been counseling dozens, hundreds, thousands of people at this point, but of stuff like that. And in that situation, it's like, you also literally have money on the fucking line.
Right.
Like, you just lost a customer.
That's
like,
what I'm saying. You know, that lady would have bought the lipstick. That lady would have bought the lipstick.
And even if I hadn't, I would have thought, that's cool. I care about supporting women, you know, owned and started companies. I will recommend it.
Right, but I do the same thing. I do the same thing. And that's what's so interesting, is that I'm just learning now that it's okay to share, and you should be proud to share, as opposed to, I guess, the programming that I had originally, which is like, be modest, which, again, you have a whole thing in the book about all the reasons, and it's so fascinating. That could be a whole episode of the show. So we will save that for when you're here in June. So let's get to some of the other things.
Yes. But one last thing is, everybody is on their own, like, bragging better path.
Yes.
So even if it's just being able to say in the grocery store, like, oh yeah, I made this, to one person, like, that's fine too. You can start wherever you need to.
Right. I agree, Meredith, and thank you for that. Oh yeah.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I really quick want to just, I think this is a really fun idea that all the honeys should do. Because I didn't do this until I went to one of your dinners. So Meredith hosts these dinners, and it was really cool. Tell everybody, like, how, what you do. You have everybody sit down and go around the table and do a brag. And just, I think this is cool, and I think all of us should start doing this when we have gatherings. So tell us a little bit about, and what do you call them, like, powerful women dinners? What do you call them exactly?
Yeah, it's funny because I guess, whether you think this is derogatory or not, there's so many interesting, wonderful, successful women that I know that I just call them, like, power bitches.
Oh, yeah, we love.
So I'm like, oh, I'm having a power bitches dinner in L.A., and I invite all the interesting women that I know, and, you know, get them together. And when I do that, I care that people introduce themselves to each other and talk about what they've done, because obviously that's in line with the work that I do. And that allows me to have a quick second with them to flag anything that they might be doing that they shouldn't be doing.
Oh.
Like, for example, I have a very close friend who, like, I don't want to, you know, dox her in the situation, but she basically had a company that was, she was wearing something that she had created, same idea. She didn't even mention it. And I said, like, hold up, let's go back. Like, why don't you tell people, like, what you're wearing and where it came from? Like, and then everybody was instantly enthralled. That gives me, like, a second to, like, flag things for people and at least just, like, give them some free counseling.
A free coach, yeah.
Then what I'd like to do is something that I first saw a million moons ago from Amy Webb, who is an amazing data futurist, scientist, Wonder Woman, who's in the book, which is ask and offer. So it's
here
this
we
idea
go,
that
honey.
When you are in this, like, networking situation, or they do offer and ask, it depends. You ask for something you need, and then you offer something to the group. And they can be everything from, like, I have a great gynecologist, if anyone needs one in the area. Or it can be like, hey, I really need help figuring out how to be better on Instagram. And it always, like, just leads to really interesting conversations, but it's important to ask for what you need, but then you end up getting all these, like, random cool skills that, like, at the dinner we had, like, I was like, okay, so you're going to talk to this person, and everyone, like, plugs and plays, and it's very actionable and fun.
Yeah, I'll just give an example. Like, I showed up to the dinner, and I said, hi, I'm Jackie. I host Natch Butte. I listed some stats, whatever. And then I said, I'm always asking for guests for my show because I host a weekly show. And I'm always looking for exciting, interesting women to come on as guests. So my ask is, if you have anybody you know that would be good for Nash Butte. And then my offer was, if you need any skincare advice, if you want to know about some cool products, or if you're looking to like kind of build up your skin routine, or you don't know what to buy, then come to me. So that was my offer and my ask. And I thought that was such a cool thing to do at parties when you're, or dinners or something. Go around the room, have everybody talk about, promote what they're up to, and then have an offer and an ask. Isn't that cute?
And it's just, it also like takes some of the edge off of meeting new people, or, you know, you might just be like, I've had people be like, my ask is like, please find me a husband.
Right.
Or my offer is like, you know, I am very good at accounting. You know, it's really just like across the board. And it asking, you know, people what, offering something that you can help them do is really powerful too.
I think it was so fun and rejuvenating.
Yeah. And obviously like Jackie walks in, is the star or whatever. Everybody's like, who's that girl? And it's like, it's Jackie, give her a TV deal. Bump up her podcast, please advertise, please rate and review and subscribe. But it allows me to brag about my friends too, which is fun.
I encourage all the honeys to start doing this, and let's see of all the help we can spread.
Yeah, maybe. I know you have like your very active Facebook group, so start doing it in the Facebook group.
Oh, that's a great idea. Oh my God, that is such a good, do you hear that, honeys, in the Facebook group? Get that going. Oh my God, that's so smart. Okay, why don't we talk about your podcast, It Never Gets Old?
Yeah.
Because on top of Meredith's work in the bragging better space, she also is an expert on all things secondhand and sustainable fashion. So it's very exciting. I personally just bought 2 pair of Reformation jeans off Poshmark, although they haven't shipped them yet, and I'm starting to get a little anxious. So there's so much here. I'm so intrigued by what you said about the expensive t-shirts, because I don't know why I've been conditioned to think that if you want like a really good vintage t-shirt, you're going to have to pay up. You're saying, no, that's not the case.
No. So I collect vintage t-shirts. I started collecting them. I'm 33. I started collecting them maybe when I was 17. I took a hiatus and then got really into them again. Always had a lot of just vintage t-shirts that my dad had given me too, and my mom. And I have some of those. So I do a whole episode. So my podcast is called It Never Gets Old. And it's all about secondhand, you know, firsthand account of all things secondhand and by proxy sustainable. I did not expect to get into sustainable fashion, but recycling and buying secondhand is really earth friendly and awesome and full of good karma and just a fun corner of the internet and planet that I've been a part of since I was about 11. But vintage t-shirts like are my shit. If you go and listen, I have a whole episode on vintage t-shirts, but I'll just like do the like top line Cliff's Notes knowledge. So they should not be super expensive unless you're buying a collector's like Grateful Dead, Billy Joel. And in those cases, you know, they can run a couple $100s if you're a very serious collector. I don't have a specific band. I am mostly just into like the softest stuff that then speaks to me and I think is fun or funny. And then I also collect plain white vintage Hanes t-shirts or just vintage plain white t-shirts because I believe they are the best white t-shirts. Like nobody has come close to, nailing the perfect white t-shirt except an old one.
Wow. Aren't you worried about staining them? Cause I stain everything white that I own.
You know, no. They're really like well built and you just throw them in the washing machine because that's the thing too, is like, I have two kinds of, like, I had stuff that just, I don't even separate everything and throw it in the washing machine because a lot of it's like old and already been washed before. Nothing's bleeding. Like nothing's, it's like
right.
Totally fine. Or then everything else is designer secondhand and dry clean. So like one thing is, you know, secondhand is really great for the environment. Also you can make money. So I have been consistently making money on my wardrobe for 20 years, and sometimes it's in the thousands of dollars a month. Now, you're not like down the rabbit hole that I am necessarily, but like do not throw away clothing, first of all. Look at donating it. Look at where you can donate it sustainably. ThredUp will donate your clothing sustainably. That's really important. A lot of it ends up in landfills or in trash cans. So just like, please don't throw out clothing. But vintage t-shirts, I don't pay more than like $20-$30 ever.
Wow.
Like maybe it's like a six, and you shouldn't.
So I mean, there's a store
in LA.
There's a store here that is so insane. I mean, I went in there and I was like, what's the most expensive shirt you have? He's like, oh, the Nirvana In Utero shirt. It's like $700 because Bieber just bought one for me. So, and I'm like, Jesus Christ.
And it's funny because I know a lot of dealers, like vintage t-shirt dealers, like I'm so in this world that like I hear all the like scuttlebutt and gossip and whatever. Like, yeah, I know the like guy who does the Fear of God ones. He buys those t-shirts for $2 and then sells them for $500. Like, so basically, if you don't know anything about vintage t-shirts and you're okay dropping $75 to $100 on a Harley one, which like you don't have to pay for, but they're cool. Like, I know the look. I'm in LA all the time. All the cuties wear, boys and girls wear, you know, like a cute vintage t-shirt. But they don't have to be expensive. But if you're going to go to a boutique that has done the digging for you, they're going to be more expensive. There's a ton online. There are two keywords that I've discovered in really good vintage t-shirts. One is paper thin when you're looking for search terms.
Okay.
So that means, and one way you judge buying vintage t-shirts online is holding them up to the light. And if you can see the person's hand through the shirt, like, you know, it's good. You know, it's thin enough because you want like the softest, thinnest shit possible.
Right.
Like the more destroyed, the better.
Well, right. Because I could go to Walmart and buy a Hanes t-shirt right now if I wanted that.
Right. Exactly. So you want that.
They
thinness.
Have Nirvana shirts at Target right now. I don't want that. I want that good, good. I want that good, good. I want to see my hand through that shit.
I have a good Nirvana one. I'm trying to remember where I got it somewhere in New York. I mean, if you go to somewhere that's less organized, that's less bougie, they're not going to be as expensive.
Right.
If you live in, no matter where you live, even if you go to Goodwill, I've gotten, you know, some great vintage t-shirts there. And then there's a plethora online. So, you know, even like, I know it's really cool to have the vintage Harley Davidson ones. They retain an insane amount of value. It's just like what all the cuties are wearing. You know, any of these boutiques are going to sell them for $75 to $100 online. You know, they'll run you $30. And you just got to do a lot of measurements because it's all vintage sizing is weird. The other search term to look for is thrashed. These are just like, you know, insider t-shirt freak people. And then what I always tell people is if you're like going through a huge rack of vintage tees, the best ones, you can tell the level of wear by the collar. So what you need to look at is the collar. If you're like going through like a huge rack of them, the more worn the collar, the better the shirt's going to be.
Very interesting. Do you have a favorite vintage store on the planet / an online store that you like are just like you found your best things there?
So all over, it never gets old. I do city guides. I've done everywhere from like New York to Paris to Mexico City is coming out. I'm doing a 2-part LA series. I always tell people to look up Yelp in your town, even if you're not in a major city, Yelp will tell you. I would say my favorite of anywhere I've ever gone is probably Wasteland in Los Angeles.
Wow. Look at us with the number one, honey.
Well, and Wasteland's so good because it's resale. So the difference between consignment and resale is consignment is you're giving your clothes on loan and you're getting about 50% when it sells. Resale means the store is buying something off of you, so you get less money, but you're getting it upfront in your pocket.
Yeah.
And because Wasteland's resale, they price it really low. So the stuff is bomb. There are three stores. There's one, I like need them to pay me to shill, but I'm just going to shill anyway. There's one in Studio City. There's one in Santa Monica. The original's on Melrose. Really, really sick stuff. I buy men's stuff and women's stuff there. And then online, Poshmark's my favorite place on the internet. It can be really chaotic. If you're new to this world, I send people to The RealReal. It's a lot more organized, or if you're looking for more like, you know, lower end contemporary brands, go to ThredUp, because they're both more organized. And then, so I love Poshmark. I get a lot of great vintage t-shirts. I'm like staring at my collection right now. I was like pruning some of them.
I can't believe you were bidding on a Mighty Mighty Boss Zone shirt. What a random thing. I mean, I'm on Poshmark. I'm actually selling a bunch of Ben's clothes on Poshmark right now. And then obviously giving him the money. Because I'm nice. But I would love for you to come over and like do it to teach me, because it's I don't know what I'm doing on there.
Yeah, we'll do that too. Like once, you know, you pivot to video or whatever, then we'll do that too. Because if you listen to It Never Gets Old, it's all about how like divide yourself by category, how to think about selling, how to list things so that they actually sell.
So you're saying I need to just listen to It Never Gets Old. Fair.
Yes, but also I'm on Poshmark at FineMC. My favorite thing, so like Poshmark, again, I should be paid to show. I have not, so please call me Poshmark. But
they've done ads with me. Use net code NATCH, yeah, you get like $10 off or something. I don't know if it still works.
Well, I'll try it. I certainly will try it. But the thing about, again, it's like, this, what I love so much about secondhand is I grew up in secondhand stores. Like I have always deeply cared about fashion. I always wanted designer clothing. And it was how I was able to afford it. And I also love hunting for things, and wear, you know, all amazing clothing. But I also grew up in these stores, and a lot of them, you know, I care about the supporting of small business part of it. If you can go to your local consignment store, it's usually an older woman, second or third career. And I grew up like with those women, a lot of them really kooky and just like plowing through their stuff and sitting there and looking at people's things and like the stories of things they leave behind. I love those sorts of things. So it's like, it was just a really fun world and doesn't have to be expensive. And if you want to make some money, you can also just bring your clothes to your local consignment store.
Hell yes.
Shout out small business.
Do you have a favorite find you've ever bought? I've stumped you.
So I normally say, so Frame Denim, which is actually out of Los Angeles, they may, so at this point I'm on like a level 15. So I collect strange designer objects, like a Chanel tennis racket, or
oh, wow.
I have like a vintage like Gucci hand towel that I bought in Italy. It's definitely from like the 80s, like just like weird random one-off shit. I love that stuff. But I also am obsessed with things that never went into production or like are one of one. So, Frame Denim did these incredibly cool, denim jackets with custom patches all over them as gifts, influencer gifts for one of their fashion week dinners. And I saw it. I think I remember seeing like Hillary Rhoda or someone had it. And I was like, that is so fucking cool. Where do I get it? They never sold it. And I walked into one of my favorite consignment stores in New York called Ina. If you're in New York, go to all the Ina stores. And someone had consigned theirs, which you're technically not supposed to do. But I immediately bought it. And I would say, like, I love it. I don't think I'll ever get rid of that. That's, like, definitely one of my favorite objects.
I mean, you really are at level 15.
I know. Yeah, I, like, go crazy and then I get really obsessive. So, like, I always tell people to, like, tell me what they're looking for. And I like lose my mind. Like I have like a photographic memory for like the things people are looking for. Like there's another friend who told me like it's just lodged in my brain. So if there's something you want me to look for you, I also have private clients, but you just are a friend. So like, let me know.
I feel like someday you and I for our retirement job will like run our own little weird vintage shop.
Oh yeah. I would love to run a consignment store that also like has like candy and coffee shop and like maybe an event space.
We're making that happen.
Like, yeah, like it's the things I care about. It's like secondhand clothing. Maybe it's some like a little bit of co-working, candy, which I care deeply about, and like a coffee shop and maybe ice cream. I don't know. It's like all the things you like, just smash them all together.
As long as they don't get ice cream on my vintage Gucci tennis racket, I'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's funny. So again, like, I really have to stop myself from certain things, and I'll flip stuff or like I'll buy stuff really low and sell it really high. But there was this tiny thrift store somewhere in Southern Florida, and this woman had a Chanel tennis racket and tennis balls, and I'm mad I didn't buy it because they're now going for so much money. But like, there's only so much I can do.
I'm telling you, it's really interesting. What are some other self-care rituals you have? I'm going to say that vintage shopping is one.
For sure.
But do you have any other ones of note?
So, I have a secondhand candle problem.
Oh, wow. Wow. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Well, I get into, so on It Never Gets Old, I get into, I buy secondhand skincare. Like, we should talk about that.
Oh, yikes.
Yes, and a lot of people say, yikes, I'm a disgusting person, and I'm like, it's whatever. But, you know, if there's anything that is desired, there's a secondhand market for it. And so I go into, like, secondhand skincare, should you buy it, what are the best practices for it? But also, like, for example, like, 2020 is a real dumpster fire, but I just bought 2 liters of hand sanitizer off Poshmark because you can't fucking buy it anywhere.
Wow.
It's crazy. I'm obsessed with buying secondhand because, like, there nothing pains me more than having to pay retail for literally anything. I would rather just, like, hop off a cliff. So I decided very late in life, you know, in my 30s, that I liked fancy candles. I always thought people were idiots for liking them. And now I just, like, have a severe diptyque problem, a severe boy smells problem, and I find them all on the secondhand internet, and I lose my mind. Like, I have to cool it. Like, it's very addicting and very fun. So I would say that's one thing. Hanging out with my doggy Bean, we just, like, sit there and I hug her until she wriggles out of my arms. I love walking, getting my steps in. I love walking in LA, which people think is very weird, but I love it.
I don't think that's weird at all.
Walking for me is very meditative. I would say those are my, and then, like, filling my brain with television. And drinking margaritas. I would say those are all my self-care rituals.
Fair. I think they're great. Okay, Meredith, tell us one more time where we can find Brag Better. And I know I don't even have to give you any more specifics. Normally I say the social media, blah, 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 but I know you're going to cover all the bases.
You can learn more about me at MeredithFeinman.com. You can learn more about the book at brag-better.com. I'm on all the social medias at Meredith Feinman. Feel free to slide into the DMs, whether you have, like, a bragging question or you're looking for something secondhand or you want to see more pictures of my dog, Bean. I can't wait for Bean and Chooch to meet at some point in time.
I'm coming to DC soon.
Yeah, so we will have to do that and a whole photo shoot, et cetera.
And of course, Chooch will come with me. I mean, why wouldn't she?
Yes. And Brag Better is on social media at Brag Better. I reserved those handles in 2015. My publishing team was like, what the hell? I was like, I am also a PR person.
I know, I'm telling you.
I've been squatting on that shit since 2015. you know, everywhere, just do the Googles of Brag Better, but making it epically easy. Thank you so much for having me, Jackie. And I wish I were sitting there in studio with you. It's so funny because I'm from DC and, like, you're so steeped in all the Hollywood stuff, which, like, I love, and the comedy stuff, which, like, I, like, just love all things comedy, and which makes me sound like I love humor. But, you know, it's even in one visit to Jackie's podcast, you know, studio, I was, like, freaking out over the people that record there. So she's very cool is what I'm trying to say. So yeah, that's it. That's, you know, we could go on forever and ever, but I'd be happy to answer any questions and I'll be in touch about getting you a copy of that book, some honeys.
That's right. Well, this is very exciting work and I'm excited for the honeys to have it as well. And also all the people everywhere to have this in their hands. So everybody get ready to brag better. And Meredith, thank you again for coming on. And yes, I will be doing something in June with you. I cannot wait. But until then, honeys, remember that you deserve to be happy. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Meredith, I'm talking to you.
Woo! I'm talking to you.
And I'm talking to the honeys. You deserve to be happy. And don't forget to cream that neck and keep your fringe fresh. Yes, honey.
Star Bands Avenue, a podcast network.